Let the trap!
You are listening to What the Truck!
Are you ready to truck it? What's happening, everybody? It's Dooner. Welcome to Monday. I'm well rested. Had a nice extra long weekend down in Gatlinburg, Eastern Tennessee. A lot of bears out there. It was a really, really good time. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're on Sirius XM, you're on the podcast, you're on the live stream, it doesn't matter. Thanks for coming to the house. I'm your host, Tim Dooner. And hey, while I was in Gatlinburg, some big, big news dropped over the weekend. We got Alien vs. Predator, Batman vs. Superman, Freddy vs. Jason, Rocco vs. Drago, the Red Sox vs. the Yankees, Michigan vs. Ohio State, Jake Paul vs. Mike Tyson, the Ultimate Warrior vs. Hulk Hogan, and now Freight Waves vs. DAT. The beatdown in A-Town is coming June 4th at the Future of Supply Chain in Atlanta, where the great freight data debate between Freight Waves and DAT takes place on the big stage. That's right, Craig Fuller put this out here. The winner of this debate is going to receive a $10,000 donation in their name to the charity of their choice. I can't wait for this to happen. Maybe I'll get to MC it. I'm pretty sure George Abernathy is going to referee it. Got to have someone impartial for that. But I love it. I love the rivalry. This is a good time. I can't wait for it to happen. Danny Frisco says, this is awesome. Can't wait to see it live. Max Postville says, the battle we didn't know we needed, but the first shot of the war. Matthew Leffler says, I'm ready. Katia Fedorov says, the only thing DAT should be debating is their crappy DAT1 platform. Shots fired. She's going to be on our cheering section, DAT. Nate Johnson says, I won't be missing this one. Craig Fuller, he's not even done talking trash. He said, well, the ATA may be afraid to debate Freight Waves about the driver shortage. DAT isn't scared to debate freight. The great debate between DAT and Sonar teams will occur on June 4th, but ATA's welcome to debate the driver shortage. Gabrielle Garcia says the driver shortage is a myth perpetuated by people who want to pay pre-1970 driver wages. I love you guys today. Comment section is feisty. June 4th, Future Supply Chain, live.freightwaves.com. Go get your tickets. Be live with the truck fit from there. Ryan Peterson, the Huntsman. Everybody's going to be there. It's the event of the year until F3 comes around. Speaking of year, this is cool. This is in Atlanta. My first event with Freight Waves 5 years ago was in Atlanta. Today is my 5th year anniversary at Freight Waves. Moved down here from Boston. The job came up so abruptly, Craig Fuller hiring me after interviewing him on another podcast, that I moved out here 3 months before my family. We still had to sell the house back in Boston. They still had to come out here. But, you know, an apartment later, a house later, a big show later, and it's been an amazing time. Thank you very much, Freight Waves. Thank you very much, Craig Fuller, for giving me the opportunity. And of course, thank you all for listening. What are you listening to? You're listening to What the Truck. It's episode 78. And on today's show, we're celebrating Earth Day with Loyalty Logistics Puppy King Sean Laidacker. He lays out his mission at carbon neutrality by 2030. We'll find out what he's doing with nano paints, what he's got with innovation, how he's going to hit that goal. And, we'll have a nice little Earth Day. The freight recession has now outlasted the pandemic bull run. FreightWaves' Thomas Wasson breaks down our latest report and lets us know when the market may find a heartbeat. Been thinking about that for like 2-3 years now. Trekker CJ Marley, she's participating in the 35th anniversary Make-A-Wish Mother's Day Truck Convoy. Marley is fundraising to help kids and their families can know happiness, relief, and renewal that these wishes can bring. She's only trying to raise about $2,000. I just threw $100 on there. She's at like $750 right now. We need to get her over $2,000. I think my audience can do it. I think you Sirius XM radio listeners can do it. When she puts that link up, go join it. Go give. Make those kids happy. But right now, we got a very special guest. Let's start things out with the Puppy King himself. It's Sean Laidacker, Managing Director at Loyalty Logistics. What's up, Sean?
Morning. What's going on, Tim? How are you?
What's happening, brother? Man, I saw you out. You were out over the weekend, right? You're out in Montreal picking up some trash. You're getting Earth Day started early.
Yeah. Actually, we had pretty much the whole company kind of getting their hands involved. So, yeah, across Mexico, a couple different locations, Spain, USA, Canada. So,
yeah, we got a great picture of it right there. Oh, is that your kid out there with you?
Yeah, that's my kid. He's the number one fan of, Loyalty Logistics. He's got more gear than I think I do at this point. So,
So let me ask you, Sean, is, you know, sustainability, this is an industry that wakes up and loves the smell of diesel. Is sustainability just a marketing term in here, or are you really doing some headway here? What are you guys into?
Well, first of all, I love the question. And I guess before we get to sustainability, I just want to say congratulations, man. 5 years, that's a huge accomplishment, man. Take pride in that. And like I said, I love to see what you're going to do with another 5 years. So, but yeah, I mean, talking about kind of the carbon footprint that our industry kind of obviously has an impact on, it's huge. And to be honest, we specifically designed our sustainability plan to focus, again, on the scope 3 emissions that are produced indirectly by our manufacturers by just simply shipping their products. And I can assure you, like I said, we didn't want anything this to be a fluffy marketing campaign. And a lot of times when you hear sustainability, a lot of people do think right off the bat that it's kind of a feel-good marketing campaign versus actually doing good. You know, if you look at the numbers, I mean, you know, in 2021, our industry alone produced 2.2 billion tons, metric tons of CO2. So there's a lot that we should be doing, right? And I think this all kind of got kicked off in the beginning of the year when, you know, obviously we had a record-breaking year last year. We're in a new place financially and growth. You know, started to remind myself of some of the original mandates of this company, which was to do better, right? And then obviously, like I said, I have a young son, as you guys saw in the picture. He's 6 years old. And obviously, I don't want my legacy to be tied to, you know, just transportation logistics. I think we could do better, right? The vast majority of our staff is fairly young. And obviously, there's only so much we can do to try to help, you know, paint a better picture for tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Sean, if I make it 5 more years, that'll be about this time when you'll hit your goal. This will be right near 2030. It'll be 2029. You'll be like a year away. I'll be putting all sorts of pressure on you if I make it that far. But how do you get there? What's the roadmap now?
Well, that's it. So we officially launched today. We've got 4 main initiatives that we're trying to focus on at this point. There's going to be many more that's going to come throughout the course of the year and from now until 2030. Essentially, we're calling out shippers and manufacturers that are aligning themselves with the 17 sustainable goals set by the United Nations in 2015. We essentially want to be their partner to help reduce their carbon offset. The select few shippers we've discussed with so far, we've been able to offer anywhere between 5%, as high as some as 25% carbon offsets before the end of this year. So, like I said, 4 main initiatives. We have what's called Miyawaki forests. These are very scientific-based forests that produce, they grow 30 times the rate than a traditional green space. We have 2 forests being created in Monterrey, Mexico, and we have a very large one in Guadalajara. It's approximately 10 acres of land. Next, we've partnered up with a company called Evertree, where we have purchased 12,000 treelings that we are, again, kind of planting at various points around the world. Most of those 2 initiatives will not necessarily show a good impact right away, but obviously by the time 2030 comes, they will. The third and the biggest one is obviously we have aligned ourselves and created a partnership with an overseas manufacturer that essentially creates it's a clear coating paint, as you kind of mentioned prior, right? It is, again, nanotechnology. It works with titanium dioxide. Now, this is not new. I wish I could say, we found this on our own. I mean, it's been around since 1968. I guess the only thing that's new at this point is that we've gone ahead and decided to coat a whole bunch of trailers with this product. And the beautiful thing with this product being applied to those trailers right now, as they're simply just doing what they need to be doing, which is rolling around and delivering, picking up freight, they're also producing the same amount of oxygen as 236 full-grown trees per day. And obviously,
Sean, before you get too far, because you're giving us a lot of meat here, let me stick my fork into it. The first one is, how do these forests grow faster than like a regular forest?
Perfect. Well, we actually utilize vegetation that's native to the region, right? So again, the vegetation is used to the temperatures, the water restrictions may be. Again, they're very strategically planted very densely. Actually, in 500 square meters, there's approximately 1,700 plants that are put into a 500 square meter radius. It forces the root systems to grow down instead of vertical or horizontal, I should say, And again, they become self-sufficient after 2 to 3 years. So we will be taking care of the maintenance. We're going to be encouraging our customers and our carriers alike to join us at these locations, get their hands dirty, learn about the science behind it. Because again, there's only so much we could do. But if we educate, then obviously the more we educate, then the more the message is going to be shared.
Hey, love to hear it. Now, the other thing here, nanopaint sounds very sci-fi. Is it super sci-fi? How does that help with sustainability?
Yeah, well, like I said, so the, again, titanium dioxide has a photocatalytic conversion to it, right? So it works as a pretty much a pollution sponge. It will capture certain VOCs, NO2, SO2s, simply just it applies to the product. And when the sun hits the product, it will then essentially, there's a reaction, obviously, with the titanium dioxide that will turn the pollutants either into viable oxygen or water. So again, we need the power of the sun. It doesn't necessarily need to be sun. We are trying some really kind of crazy, audacious ideas to utilize black lights, because again, this will activate the product as well. But again, there's a lot of benefits by covering. I mean, each trailer that we're covering is 197 square meters of space that we can gain access to. Obviously, it's self-cleaning as well. So there's a huge advantage for the carrier side because they just never need to worry about washing their equipment. And obviously, it acts as a protective barrier as well.
Wow. It's self-cleaning? I'd like to put that like on my body. No more showers. No more showers for Dooner over here. I kind of interrupted you because the first two pieces of your four-prong project I wanted to know more about. What else are you doing here?
Yeah. So like I said, the biggest push right now is obviously the nanotechnology coatings that we're doing. We have several carrier partners that are willing to sign on with us. We're in discussions with a large portion of manufacturers that want to also have this product applied on the trailers and having them handle their freight. So again, like I said, right now it's just kind of piecing together all the portions. We have aligned ourselves by the end of this quarter to have route optimization put into place, as well as trying to have third-party consultants put in place at their customers' facilities. Again, just to keep an eye on how things are being loaded, trying to see if we can maximize, you know, trailer capacities, creating second levels. So again, right, we can do a lot of good things, but ultimately, if we can reduce the mileage, we can reduce the transportation and the shipping as it is, that's going to have the biggest impact.
I like that you said that because, you know, a lot of the thinking in this space has been around electric trucks, right? It's been a very point A to point B. In order to have zero emissions, you got to go out and get a Tesla semi or something that you can't even get right now. But you're out here doing the work without ever having to get an electric truck. You're working on the things that are much more easy for us to manage, the things where you don't have to buy another truck and a thing where you're actually going to save money. And that's just optimizing your mileage.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, right, like if we're waiting for electric trucks to come around, right, even if they can get them up and running, I mean, we're dealing with, you know, the drivers. They like to put their ears to the engine, they can hear it click, and they know what's wrong with the truck. So even if the electric trucks become viable in the very near future, there's going to be a very hard learning curve simply to get the drivers to be able to start running that types of equipment. Again, do we sit here back and wait and hope for the best, or can we leverage our current infrastructure and again, try to do some good? You know, we have some pretty audacious goals, but by the end of this year, we should be having enough of this product covered on multiple surfaces to be able to produce the same amount of oxygen as 240,000 full-grown mature trees every day.
Doing the Lord's work out there. Well, Sean, people want to join you on the journey. They want some help reducing these scope 3 emissions. They think nano paint sounds cool. Where do I send them to?
Yeah, I mean, definitely just out whyloyalty.com. We have a whole page there. There's sustainability. We've just launched our sustainability web page, I think an hour ago, actually. I wanted this to officially be the first launch to the world publicly.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
So there's going to be a lot of new data, a lot of hashtags, a lot of social media pages. And again, we're not, you know, we're not trying to hide this. We want to empower as many people to take advantage of this. And again, I think there could be a lot of good, but, you know, we need a lot of conjoined forces to be able to do a lot of good as well.
Yeah. Well, hey, happy Earth Day, buddy. Check out Loyalty Logistics. Check out Sean. Thank you so much for stopping by the show today, sir.
Yeah, always a pleasure, man. Appreciate it.
Take care. All right. You ever have a day like this? You ever have a morning like this? Meanwhile. piece of shit. Jeebo, hunk of hot garbage, awful, stupid piece of fucking rust, hunk of junk.
It's a Norfolk Southern crap. Train conductor right now.
More like fucking eat shit. Nah, I watch my fingers. Yeah, I fucking watch it as I shove my own fucking fingers in my stupid motherfucking locomotive. Piece of shit. Railroad. Stupid Norfolk. Hunk of garbage. Stupid operation. Nobody knows what the fuck doing. Piece of shit. Crash 9. Fuck. Fail. Piece of junk. Fuck. Oh. If I go loyal to yourself under the a piece of junk. Oh, stupid operation we got going on here. What a fuck. That's just stupid.
Yeah, that's definitely a new record. 30 bleeps. Hopefully that guy gets some vacation time. But right now we have some very special guests, and there's two of them. I'm so glad she has brought one of her dogs with her. It's Candace Marley. Some know her as CJ Marley. Some know her at CJ Marley on X, like me. Candace, it's so great to see you. And who's on your lap right now?
Oh, that's Shredder.
I love after Shredder, the bad guy from the Ninja Turtles.
Just because if it fits in his mouth, he's going to shred it.
I love it. Well, hey, CJ, introduce yourself real quick to our audience. Other than being like Overdrive's March 20, congratulations, by the way, Overdrive's March 2024 driver of the month. Who are you?
I'm doing good. And that like guy in the last clip sounded like me when my Kenworth broke down last year. So, yeah.
I read that. I was reading your profile in Overdrive, and it's this really interesting story. If you haven't read it, go. It's a great article, and it sort of talks about your journey from being company driver to getting your own authority to owner operator to the issues that an owner operator has to deal with. We'll talk about that a little bit, but first of all, I want to bring some shine to something really awesome that you're doing, and this is this Mother's Day Make a Wish convoy. I was just on the site. I just dropped a few coins in the bucket for you. I hope all of you who are listening do it. CJ, tell us what this is all about and why you're doing it.
Well, first of all, this is their 35th anniversary of the Philadelphia, Delaware, and Susquehanna Valley chapter of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Their Mother's Day convoy, they hold it every year. I started doing it in 2016. And basically, my first year doing it, I had read about it. They previously held the Guinness World Record for the largest convoy. And what I read is they were trying to once again get the record back. And so I thought, hey, this sounds like a really cool thing to do. I want to take part in this. And so I jumped in 2016, and all it took was one time to get hooked, because when you're driving down the road honking your air horn at all these kids alongside the road, it just fills your heart with absolute joy, and to see the smiles on these kids at the carnival, all the children that are around, the Make-A-Wish kids that you get to meet. My first year, I had one ride with me. She was the oldest Make-A-Wish kid in the foundation. She was 16. She had an inoperable tumor around her spine. So it was a great time letting her ride with me that year. The Make-A-Wish convoy raises 75% of the funds for that chapter. So the more money they can raise, the more wishes they can grant. The highest amount they've ever raised is $601,000.
Let's crush that. You're only trying. CJ's only trying to raise 2,000. She's over. It says 600 there, but I dropped 100 in there. So it's over 700 now. We only need 1,300 bucks, but we would love to crush this. We would love to do the 601,000, right? Can we do that?
Yeah.
The audience? Can we set the record ourselves? That would be pretty badass, wouldn't it, CJ?
I think the highest one driver has gotten was I think it was like 11,000. Might have been a little more than that, but the highest in 1 year raised was $601,000.
Well, it's good to have a goal. Let's jump over that thing. Now, where does this convoy run? It's on Mother's Day. Where do these children line up that you're talking about that are giving you the old horn pump?
We start out at the Mannheim Auto Auction. It runs through Lancaster. They have a route that's set every year that we follow, and we take a big circle, and we end up back at the Mannheim Auto Auction, where they have a carnival beforehand, and there's an auction. They auction off items to also raise money. All right, get back up.
Hi there. Hi, Shredder.
If I'm talking, he thinks there's someone outside, so he has to look out the window.
No, very social. Very. I understand. I got some doggies too. It sounds like such an awesome ride. Now, to make a wish, kids, have you ever had one that's like wanted to do a ride along in a semi truck?
That is an option for the drivers. They can let a Make-A-Wish child ride with them. Like I said, the first year I did have one that rode with me. I no longer have a pasture seat, so I don't have a rider with me this year. But it is an option for the drivers that take part to let a Make-A-Wish child ride with them.
Before I move on to a couple of questions about your life as an owner-operator, where do they go? Is it Make-A-Wish? I know on your Twitter page, pinned at the top of CJ's Twitter page, which is CJ Marley, M-A-R-L-E, you can go on Twitter and find it. But how else would they find this particular page to donate?
But CJ M-A-R-L-E-Y. I also made it easy for people to find by going to marleysride.net. It'll just forward you directly to the my Make-A-Wish page to be able to make a donation.
Very interesting. Now, CJ, I mentioned at the start of this, I congratulate you on the March 2024 Overdrive Driver of the Month, but there was some interesting stuff in there, and I was curious. To drivers out there that are company drivers right now, they're thinking of getting their authority, they're thinking of striking out on their own. What advice do you have for them? What do you got to look out for? Because you've run into a few challenges that you've learned about.
make sure you put money away for those major catastrophes that happen. Even though I had them, my money got drained really fast when the motor went out. And if it wasn't for my father helping me out, I would have been out of business really quick.
When do you think you went at the right time? Did you wait too long to strike out on your own? Like, when's the right time for a driver to be like, you know what? I'm going to get my authority. I think I know enough about this business. I think I can run on my own.
I don't know if there is a right time. I know, definitely not right off the bat. You got to get some experience under your belt. You see a lot of them trying to do it right out of school, and you don't know what you're doing yet. You know nothing of the industry. Get to know the industry before you go striking out into starting a business in this industry. You need to know it. I didn't strike out right off the bat.
I mean, one of the challenges that I hear from a lot of new drivers, especially ones that haven't really gotten much of an education before they went out, is they go and get these new authorities, they get a truck, and they realize all these companies have like fraud protection now, and they don't want authorities that are that young. So now they tell you, like, get an authority and sit on it for over a year. Have you run into that, the carrier fraud verification thing that's eliminating some drivers?
The biggest problem that I still face is the brokers that want you to have an inspection. I've got 2 years in my authority, and I have brokers who won't work with me because I have no inspections. I keep my truck in the condition that they don't feel the need to pull me in and look at me a second, you know, look that closely at me. Why would I volunteer to let them look at me that closely?
You didn't just have an engine issue either. You also had a trailer stolen, didn't you?
Yeah. I was going through the whole process of deciding what to do when my Kenworth decided to go kaput. The tow truck driver dropped the trailer where everyone else's trailers got dropped, which was on the frontage road by the Kenworth dealer in Oklahoma City. And during this whole process, I went home for a little bit, and while I was at home, someone stole my trailer.
Ugh. At least the dogs weren't in it, right?
Yeah.
That would have been, they might have returned it quicker if they saw Shredder back there, though. They would have been like, I did not mean to have Shredder on my thing. Now, before I let you go, you run with some dogs. You run it with a dog like Shredder. Advice for the trucker thinking of putting a dog in the cab.
Geez, I don't know. Be prepared for lots of walks and lots of hair.
Lots of walks and lots of hair. No doubt. No doubt. Well, CJ, I really hope you get this goal. Everyone who's listening, please help out CJ a little, even if it's just $5, whatever you got. This is a great mission for Make-A-Wish. It puts a great light on trucking. And one more time, you said you had that easy website. What is that one?
Marley'sRide.net.
Marley'sRide.net. Check it out. In the show notes of this, if you're a podcast listener, in the show notes on FreightWaves, I'll put a link to her thing as well. If you're an audio listener on radio or on SiriusXM, just go to that website. CJ and Shredder, thank you so much for stopping by. Best of luck with your goal on the Make-A-Wish.
Thank you.
Take care. Good stuff. All right, elsewhere. Hear of this happening, Watson? Here, loop that one more time so my buddy Thomas Watson can see what this gentleman was doing. So he pulls over. He's going to pull over by the car. And look, he's even got his beer with him.
Oh, let's go.
Here you go. This guy he gets tased.
I've had some when I was an intern. I interned at a sheriff's department. They asked for volunteers, but I was not that good. You know, some tasers don't work on people. There's like a 10 to 15% group of population. Crazy story.
I've seen some of those. I'm like body cam. I watch like body cam on ID, and there's some people you tase them and it energizes them. They're almost on like PCP.
You just never know with a tase. That's why you have to always carry other non-lethal options, including mace, which also doesn't work on a small subset. So if you find the trifecta, the unicorn, you just gotta have a heart to heart and be like, look.
Hey, alcohol itself can take you out. I've fallen down that's why I don't drink anymore. I fell down a flight of stairs once, you know.
Happened to my grandmom too. Yeah. Whole. Don't mess with stairs, for sure.
Don't mess with stairs. They'll take you out. They'll take you out. Hey, Watson, did you know it's my 5-year anniversary here today?
Congratulations. I'm glad to be on the show for the Big Five.
Yeah. How long you been here?
It's like coming up on three, now, yeah. Coming three? Up.
When's your three coming up?
August something something. Time flies when you're having fun. It's one of those August dates.
Let's reminisce. What's your greatest memory since you've been here?
Man, the greatest memory and the best advice I got was first trip. I just get hired on. We go to the Arkansas event, and I'm doing bag check.
Yeah.
And so this guy comes up and I've had no experience doing podcasting. I'm just getting started. And I was asking for advice. And this dude at Bag Check, I don't remember his name, but he was a sage. He said, you have two options. You can be the first one to buy 100,000 Twitter followers and just buy all your audience, or keep it small and boutique, but make sure it's useful. And that's all you need. Don't feel that rush to just buy followers that don't matter. And so that kind of stuck with me, because you do the job. You've been in the game. You do the slog. And some days it's like you're posting into the void.
Yeah.
But then something catches fire and you're like, it was worth it.
Yeah. And that's why you just keep doing repetitions, you know? One of them is eventually going to, you know, end up in the hole if you throw the ball enough times.
Exactly.
End up in the basket. Mine was our first. Now we're going back to Atlanta. So my 5-year anniversary, and it's been 5 years since we had, I believe it used to be called FreightWaves Live, I think. I think the original one in Atlanta was called it was called Transparency. Yeah, it was called Transparency. Now it's, what is it called? Future Supply Chain. Yep. Same thing, but it's in Atlanta. I think it's at the same exact place. And my first event, it was like 2 weeks after I'd been here. The event's opening. My co-host at the time, Chad Prevost, he's out there. He's up on the stage, you know, introducing Craig. And then Gary Vee comes out. And the girl who's in marketing next to me, she goes, hit the cowbell, hit the cowbell. So I'm like, bam, 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 bam. As Craig and Gary, and the whole room goes silent.
Oh, yeah?
Dead silent. It just looks at me. Like, my first event was almost my last, but it's been all uphill for me.
They can't handle that energy. I mean, that's one of those things.
It's been a hell of a ride. Well, you know, one of the great things about being in FreightWaves is we have Craig Fuller here, who knows a lot about trucking. And back famously in 22, he made the call about the freight recession that's going to happen. And we're still stuck in it. He just put an article, "The Great Freight Recession Has Now Lasted Longer Than the COVID Bull Market," which is pretty incredible to think about, because COVID seemed like it was lasting forever, but I also feel like I've been talking about this freight recession forever. Thomas, am I ever going to be talking about something better?
Oh, man. You know, I think it was a great thing, his talk. He did the state of freight as well. It's officially at the bottom. So whenever we want to talk about prognosticisms, the crystal ball, well, we can safely say it definitely is at the bottom, because we looked at it for over a year's worth of data. We've been checking it. It's rough to talk about because it still is rough, but we do statistically understand that there's nowhere to go but up, but we don't know when. So we heard a lot of the earnings, J.B. Hunt, Schneider and stuff. when they talk about it was competitive, that's like a very sanitized version of the Normandy beach landing. Because sure. If you're an executive and you say, we were surprised, that's when you're like Tom Hanks and someone says, we got to get off the RFP. We got to figure this out. So that is the kind of turning point. And I think that's what Craig's talking about as well, is that when the executives talk about it, we talked about this 6 months ago, but it takes markets time. I call it cruise ships and speedboats. Spot market's a speedboat. Cruise ship takes a few football fields. So that's the biggest thing to understand. Now, will it get better? Well, we thought it would
Let's talk about JB for a second, though.
Yeah.
You brought up a good point, and I played the clip of Shelley Simpson on LinkedIn. She put out a video after earnings came up, and in that clip, she said, this freight recession has lasted longer than we thought it would, longer than anybody thought it would. But now Craig Fuller, and maybe you, I don't know, or maybe DET, I don't know. I'm also excited for that, DET versus FreightWaves in Atlanta.
I'm so ready for that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like similar data sets, but also getting their opinion, being heavily exposed to spot, having that discussion. I mean, you need it. It's something, you know, steel sharpens steel in the words of Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it, man. You got it. When I was a kid, I always wanted to see like WWF versus WCW. And if WWF eventually bought WCW, but it wasn't kind of the same. Two rivals owned by different people colliding in A-Town, the beatdown in A-Town. That's what I'm starting to call it. Well, let's look at some of our data. Let's give you a little preview of this debate. Why do we think the market may improve? Well, let's look at the net changes in trucking authorities. As bad as these bankruptcies are, as bad as trucking bloodbaths are, it's got to bleed in order for capacity to normalize. Now, that chart sort of looks like it, but I have a counterpoint for you. Now, those are authorities that go out, but how do we know those truck drivers don't go to another company?
Well, that's the amazing part, is we have to look at it. We don't. So you can look at publicly traded large fleets that are the 0.001%. But if you're going to a for-hire company and they're private, it's not like they're going to report it. So private fleets have gone up, but private fleets accept all of their outbound tender rejection rates. So that data set for us. So we have to look at these edges. This is the bleeding edge. And we know that when you exit the spot market, one of two things happen. You're for sure out of business, or going to work under another company to keep it going as a lease purchase and owner operator. So the good news is, as you notice, see all this red and it's somewhat abating, but the extent of on this very far right side of the red compared to the far left, we're returning to a sense of normalcy, but it's still truckload supply driven. So we just don't know yet, because it's like Goldilocks. You don't know what the just right's going to be for this market to go up.
Yeah, well, let's look at OTRI, because you and Craig may be optimistic, but I look at this and I go, well, what is the indicator here that makes you both optimistic about it? Because it looks like we're still under 4% on contracted rejected loads, right?
We are definitely under that. The biggest one that recently happened is reefers going down. Reefers below 4% as well, which is, if you think about reefer, you say, well, Thomas, it's a small set of the market. Well, I also say that if it's under 42,000 pounds, they're going to poach dry van if they can't get what they need. So we have additional pressure. It's good and it's bad. The good part to this is that if it is this bad, more will leave, balance will be restored at the expense of fleets. And so that's kind of the weird way of looking at it. You're going to think, well, why are you so excited about it? I was like, well, it can't get any worse.
Well,
so if it's, I mean, it's been like this a year. I've been looking back on it. I mean, we can have another dip like we saw in May of last year. That may be the one last hurrah if that holds. But right now, as we see it, the market is becoming more sensitive. So that's a good news, because that means elasticity. You know, we saw it was at the bottom and everyone knew it. We're getting more like a heartbeat monitor. It's slowly coming back to life.
Yeah, the heartbeat coming back to life. Well, this one sort of looks like an EKG. Let's look at the contract load accepted volume. This is a chart that Craig Fuller called out in his report. What's the readout here?
The clav, as I like to say. It's instead of the claws, crab jokes. But, you know, when we're looking at contracted load acceptance volumes, this is the bare bones. No rejection rates thrown in, none of the distortions. What you see is what you get. 9% higher than last year, 6% less than the peak. So when we're asking, well, how's it going to get better? Everyone says, well, we need more freight. We need more freight. And I was like, brother, we already have a lot of freight. That is why this makes our job so difficult, because even on this contracted side, we have more freight and we have an under 4% rejection rate, which means that you would be good if you had most of your customers who want 95% tender compliance or better. So yeah, that's the hardest part. We know we have more freight, but at the same time, it's still demand, you know, truckload supply and demand.
I kind of hate charts. I mean, I like to look at charts, but to me, charts really don't, like, what I care about is the cause and effect. Like, what is this actually doing in the real world? And we're starting to learn something interesting, and it came out in those earnings calls, in even J.B. Hunt's, and it's the dynamic that these long-sustained, non-rejected contracts have put carriers in a very sort of precarious position when it comes to renegotiating. Tell me about that, because you tweeted about this as well.
I've had that happen before. It is not fun. So yeah. The customer, you can have a relationship. And when we talk about relationships, they're going to say, look, you're the incumbent. I'm going to give you a 2% discount, but I need you to cut 5%. And that's where we're at right now. The largest customers in your base, imagine a U.S. Express, Procter & Gamble, Home Depot, Walmart, Tractor Supply. It's not that they all talk to each other, but their transportation departments read and look at the market. Their job is to save money. And we are seeing this opportunistic behavior where the pendulum has swung back. And even in the earnings situations, these carriers are talking about, I'm going on the spot market. That is an interesting thing, by the way. When Knight-Swift said, we are going to go to the spot market rather than lock in that rate for a year, that is a calculated decision that I'm going to get screwed more in the short term because I'm betting that things will get better. It's like a stair step. If you lock it in at $2, you just missed out on $2.25 at the end of the year. So that's going to be, so when we're asking why did Craig talk about the market maybe getting better by fall?
Yeah.
Now we have large carriers entering the spot market at a greater level. And I used to be that analyst. Drivers get mad on social media. They say, don't take cheap freight. Bro, I was hungry hippos.
Sure.
$1.99 a mile to Colorado and the market rate is like $2.10. I don't care. I have 5,000 trucks. If any of them sit for any period of time at that economy of scale. So that's why we're seeing this situation. And that's the scary part is because the customers and shippers are you're in a balancing act. You can do this strategy, but just know that if you do this, it can turn quicker than you have control. And then we have what's called paper rates.
This is interesting because this is what Darren Field said in the transcripts. He said, so I think that the pricing that we issued early in the bid season, we had some surprises with the results and it was really competitive. And we were surprised by the magnitude of some of the truckload rates from truckload competitors out there. And that certainly has helped us to identify, can we offer short-term programs? Translate that for me, because that is a very, there's a lot said in that little.
A lot. So they said, other truckload carriers have taken off the gloves.
Yeah.
We are getting slaughtered, but we as J.B. Hunt have something they don't have, which is intermodal, mixed modal, and other stuff. We will get screwed on truckload, but we will offer other things and keep the ones that are willing to work with us and just have to bite the bullet. Truckload carriers like to talk about having pricing discipline, and there's kind of this gentlemanly agreement between executives. Well, right now, it does appear, based on these comments, that we're just such a bad part in the downward cycle that all gloves are off, and I need volume no matter what. That's when Craig said the dam has bursted in terms of we kept trying to hold back. Now I'm feeling that, it's like going out
in the... I sold freight in a market that was bad. It was like 2015, 2016. And I remember the 3PL I was at, they had a trucking company, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we make our money on customs brokerage and overseas, that kind of stuff, and we can take the loss on trucking. They did not have that trucking company for very long. They had to sell it off. It's very hard to take a loss with real world assets, because the other side, like the customs brokerage stuff, it's like, okay, you're paying the licensed customs, the customs brokers to be there to do the entry, but it's not nearly sort of the operational cost of having an entire fleet of trucks sitting around. It's kind of easier to move the needle in the CHB side because you're setting your margins. They're not as real world as with the truck. Like, you have to make a certain amount of money with a truck.
Yeah, that truck payment is a constant,
Yeah.
That's the biggest challenge for these trucking companies. Even the pure play ones like Heartland, Werner, watch their earnings as well, because we need to see the comments. Because right now, J.B. Hunt and Knight-Swift are like the leaders of the pack. Go first. Let's talk about consensus. Now, if I'm an executive, I may have a little bit more cover. So expect to continue to hear these comments. They don't like to talk about, by the way, getting screwed in an RFP, because 85% of their business is contracts. So this is the part where we've realized in this market, on the contracted side, the emperor has no clothes.
What is Schneider doing right? Because the list of top 100 brokerages, I think it was 2023, came out and they were one of the only ones that moved in the top 20. A lot of them had big drops. They moved.
Three things. One, invest in tech. Two, get out of pure play trucking. Every successful trucking company decides to buy an LTL or decide to go mixed modal, intermodal. J.B. Hunt talked about their Walmart deal doing a lot of that. You have to make a moat like that. So that's the secret. The reason they can do better is now they can sell that on their logistics arm, yeah. And the logistics can now do the mixed modal and the LTL when before, like a U.S. Express pure play, they only dealt with truckload. So you got to open the doors and then let that brokerage be the pressure release or let it be a way to pull them in. And that's another thing where you take that cut on that RFP on that dry van lane. Well, maybe you take a bunch of brokerage loads. You try to double dip later. So you got to put a little strategy. It's an art. There's a finesse to it.
There's a finesse. Well, this doesn't look very artful. Let's paint a bad picture. Here's today's spot rate. Here's the Freightways National Truckload Index daily spot rate. It is, what is that? $1.61 fuel. Sorry, my eyes were, you know, 5 years. I could see when I 5 years ago, I would have been able to read that. Can't anymore, man.
Looking at this data, fuel has not saved us, even though there's geopolitical tensions and everything. That's the final thing that the danger for truckload carriers is what you do. I call it the Jesus take the wheel move, where you make your line haul dirty cheap at a loss, and you hope that the fuel surcharge gives you your margins back. Yeah, I've seen that a few times on bids. This is not a good sign because it also matches the NTI spot market rate. We're still at the same place we were like last year. That's the hardest part to comprehend.
The other thing that you called out a little earlier, reefer, and we moved past, is this a bad sign? Because reefer rejects have gone. Is it a bad sign for produce season?
It's like a smoke, but we don't know if there's going to be a fire yet because produce is coming up. But typically, reefer should be starting the rejections going up because that would imply there's demand.
Yeah.
So when we see reefer going down below 4, that's usually unheard of because it's specialized equipment. That means a lot of people have bought it. A lot of people have dabbled into it. And now there's this glut of reefer units that traditionally make more money. So this is something worth watching because if I'm a reefer carrier, I'm just going to steal dry van. I will get loads. And that's just more pressure. And that kind of took the whole summertime thing into the fall because now reefer's competing in the game. Now large publicly traded carriers are competing in the game. This is looking like, you know, we're in that fight. We're in the Thunderdome right now, and we just got like 3 more entrants.
Despite all this, optimism for either Q4 or Q1 next year persists. You can read Craig Fuller's entire report on this on freightwaves.com. It's got all those charts and everything, especially if you're an audio listener and didn't get to see those. But hey, coming up on Wednesday, we got our small fleet and owner-operator summit. There's going to be a live What the Truck from that. I know that you have a session. Actually, you're doing the keynote, aren't you, with OIDA. What's that about?
I get around. No, this is a really fun conversation. President of OOIDA or OIDA. I always ask him before I interview him just in case. But
sometimes they get mad if you say OIDA, or they're like it's OOIDA.
Depends on the person, yeah, honestly. There's like
say OIDA.
It's like a secret handshake. You gotta make sure you have the right decoder ring. But legislative things that are coming across the horizon, really great conversation because in spite of the fact of all this market turmoil, there's still some things that regulation. So we've talked about the market screwing over carriers. Well, the government and the federal agencies are like, hold my drink real quick. I'm waiting in the wings. I've been cooking up some stuff. Trucking has always been defined by two big things. One, the market itself. And two, look at the Motor Carrier Act of 1980. Every large carrier today came about from the MCA Act, like a asteroid that took out the dinosaurs that were mostly unionized and transformed it. So we always have to keep one foot on this rail and watch out for the third rail because the third rail can shock you, which is government policy and administrative moves.
As you saw there too, free giveaway. You can win a Sonos Move 2 if you go to live.freightways.com, register for the event. It is free. I think one of those costs about 2,200 Zen points. That's a lot of that's a lot of Zen to go through your lips. I collect some of those. It takes a long time, Thomas Watson. But you get that for free. There's going to be What the Truck there. Alan Adler's on there. We're doing electrification for small fleets. Important one because all the feedback I always get whenever I talk to like EV, like the small fleets, like we're never going to be able to afford that. So I'm going to talk to Alan about what is affordable, what those fleets can do. We have some other special guests. Adam Wingfield is going to have an amazing session on there, how operators can position themselves for success. He's one of the best minds in this business. Craig Fuller will be interviewing the CEO of Truck Stop, Kendra Tucker. Kevin Rutherford, he's going to be driving through downturns. He's got a session with Grace Sharkey. And my buddy, Jamie Hagan, he's going to talk about building a trucking community. You know what? Important point in that. I'm not sure if this will come up during the chat, but so much has been talked about identity and verifying your carriers. Well, what better than to personal brand yourself as an owner-operator so people know exactly who they're working with? Thomas Watson. Everybody.
The feature's great.
Live.freightways.com and get your tickets when you're there, when you register, get your tickets for Atlanta, June 4th, DAT versus Freightwaves. Tyson versus Paul.
We don't need the Tyson versus the Paul at this point. Mick, hey, Fred, Craig.
Who's Tyson? Who's Paul?
Ooh, tough call.
Tyson! We're Tyson. Find me on Twitter at Timothy Dooner. Find this show on SiriusXM's Road Dog Trucking Channel 146. Look it up wherever you get podcasts. Go to FreightWaves YouTube channel for the entire playlist. Or watch the live stream at noon, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays across FreightWaves social media. Find me on Twitter at Timothy Dooner. Find this gentleman at
T-Wasson7. Five-year cowbell.
T-Wasson7. Take care! Don't be a stranger!